You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Keith Erickson. Dr. Erickson is a professor in the History Department here on campus, and he's also the author of a new book called Everybody's History, Indiana's Inquiry and the Quest to Reclaim a President's Past. Dr. Erickson, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
This book was something that you started working on because of work that was done by people in the 1920s. You want to kind of bring us up to date on that?
Yeah, that's right. You know, there have been a lot of books written about Lincoln. The last time someone tried to count, and actually tried this, was in the early 1990s, and they came up with 15,000, and no one's really tried since then. So thousands of books. But this book tells two stories, my book. One is about Lincoln's boyhood, the time that he spent in Indiana. Most people know he was born in Kentucky and that he was a senator, a congressman, a politician from Illinois. But nobody really knows that he lived in Indiana from the time he was 7 until he was 21. So 14 years of his life, a quarter of his life, was spent in Indiana. And in the 1920s and 30s, residents of Indiana were upset with the fact that this period of Lincoln's life had been left out. And so they launched really a campaign. They formed a historical society, and they worked for 20 years researching about Lincoln's life, interviewing people who knew Lincoln, trying to identify all the places that he lived and worked and traveled. And so my book tells these two stories together, the quest to understand Lincoln's life and what they uncovered.
Now, as far as what they were looking for, what specifically did they go as far as looking for relics, talking to people? Because as you mentioned, nobody knows what happened during this time. As far, at least it's not in books. It's either from the time he was in Kentucky and then his mom died, his dad remarried, and then the next thing you know it, he's in Illinois, and then he's off to Washington.
Yeah, that's right. And so they were really looking for everything. They collected relics. They collected stories. You know, along the way, they started meeting people who, you know, elderly people, very advanced, who would say, oh, yeah, I was Lincoln's friend, or some elderly women who would say, oh, I was Abe's sweetheart. And so part of what they did was untangling these stories and trying to identify what happened. Part of the impulse, too, came from biographers of Abraham Lincoln who had ignored the period. And that might have been okay, but some of them went so far as to denigrate this period in Abraham Lincoln's life. One of them called Indiana a stagnant, putrid pool. Another one talked about Lincoln being a diamond on the Indiana dunghill. And so some of this imagery bothered the residents of Indiana. And let's face it, they were the descendants of these people who were Abraham Lincoln's neighbors. So to call Indiana a dunghill meant you were talking about somebody's grandparents and their family experience and their community experience and their regional experience. And so it was their identity and their history that was on the line, as well as Lincoln's story.
Now, when you're talking about the people who lived in Indiana, and I'm not sure if it's your book, and it probably has to have been your book because it's the only book where I've seen negative things said about the people who hung around him or lived next to him, etc., that they were, you know, either drunkards or gamblers and, you know, just no goods.
Right. And that was more common in the 19th century. And there were a couple things at play back then after the Civil War, part of Americans to reunite the country, right? And so one of the ways that biographers of Lincoln did that was to play up this sort of act of fate, right? Here's a man who was born in the South, Kentucky, sided with the North in the Civil War, but Southern by culture certainly has slavery. So here's a man born in the South, yet he rises to prominence in the North. He becomes the president. He holds the nation together. And so this becomes a powerful storyline, not so much the reality, but it becomes the storyline that biographers use, that politicians use, as they try and they're all, this generation, trying to write a narrative of how we stayed together or why we stayed together. So in the process of emphasizing the beginning in Kentucky and the adulthood in Illinois, Indiana gets pushed out because it doesn't have any sort of use in the story that they're trying to tell during this generation. And so along the way, it gets left to the side. But then there's also a rise in literature of, you know, regional literature. We think about probably the most famous in the 19th century. We think about Mark Twain writing about local experience and writing in dialect. And he was only the most famous. There are other writers. Edward Eggleston was one. Several in Indiana, James Whitcomb Riley, a poet, who are writing about the Midwest, writing about Indiana, telling these kind of homespun stories. And so that becomes part of the picture, too. You think of the people that Mark Twain caricatures in his writing, and then someone saying, well, that's what your grandparents were like. That's kind of where the disconnect for people in the 20th century who wanted to go back and straighten out the history.
Now, did other scholars, colleagues, and just in general people, when you decided to write this book, did they say or ask, like, why would you want to write a book about, you know, Abraham Lincoln's younger years when he was a boy? I mean, we already know all the great things that he did. And if they didn't ask you that, how difficult was it to dig up all this information?
Well, there was a lot of interest in recent years. We just celebrated Lincoln's bicentennial in 2009, so there was renewed interest there. And of course, most of Lincoln's life has received scrutiny by historians, biographers, while he was alive, and definitely since his assassination, he's been a fascinating topic for people to write about. But there was sort of a question in the community that about how – well, two parts to the question. One was how consequential were Lincoln's years in Indiana? But related to that is, well, how do we really know about that time period? So the earliest source that people had were stories. They'd go talk to people who knew Lincoln when they were young. And that worked for the first 40 or 50 years until those witnesses died away. And then there was a generation who really denigrated those stories, who said, you know, we can't trust it. Memory is unreliable. They're exaggerating. They want to invent stories about Lincoln or their influence on Lincoln. And that kind of played out through the 1930s and 40s and 50s. But in the 60s and 70s, historians turned again to Lincoln and his boyhood, and they basically came to the conclusion, well, oral history is all we have, so we have to go with it. And so my work said, well, there's actually more than oral history, and it was collected by local historians, over 500 of them, active throughout the 1920s and 30s, who were collecting, writing, gathering, sharing their findings. And so one of the things I hope is that their research that they did will be highlighted through my research about them.
One of the things that, and you mentioned it about the fact that, you know, everybody wanted a piece of Mr. Lincoln, the fact that, especially afterwards, you know, when he was assassinated, well, he's not only, you know, the savior of our union, to be part of that story. And as you said, some of these stories, and he was a great storyteller himself, as you know, a lot of the books we read and some of his papers, he writes a lot of stories, talks a lot, and I was wondering, you know, people like to embellish, so it's come to the point now where we read so many books about Lincoln and new stuff coming out that you wonder, is this true or is this something that, you know, people are trying to hang on to the Lincoln bandwagon and jump on there? For example, you know, the latest movie that just came out, he's a vampire slayer. Okay.
Right.
I'm not sure also about when he was young. You know, they talked about the fact that he and his father did not get along very well.
That's right.
He did not go to his father's funeral. And the fact that he and his stepmom, was it Sarah Hanks, was Lincoln, was very, very loving toward him and knows almost like a mom to him.
Right. Yeah, he has the same – Lincoln had the same complicated relationships that any other person has with his parents, with his neighbors, with friends. And part of what this historical society was doing in the 1920s and 30s was trying to sort out these stories. Some of my favorite examples, they found and they were documenting 14 different women who said they had been Abe's sweetheart growing up. Well, he'd have to be a pretty busy young man to have that many sweethearts in the few years that he lived in Indiana. There are also stories about, you know, Lincoln's father was a carpenter, a woodworker. And so throughout the Midwest, you can find, you know, dozens of cabinets that they claim, oh, Lincoln and his father made this. And so, but this group started to identify which cabinets they could trust. And, you know, one of the ways that we do that is through the chain of provenance or how, what happened to it. If Lincoln made the cabinet and the person who owns it said he made it for me, then that's stronger than someone saying, well, I got it from my cousins, brothers, neighbors, uncle. And so trying to trace where the cabinets went, as they identified some of them, they started to identify the different style of cabinet making. And so they could come up with criteria that would say, these are the kind of cabinets that they made. These are the kinds of fasteners that were available, you know, down to the level of the detail and the craftsmanship, to be able to start to sort it out. Now, sometimes you may never know, but they can at least say, we know this one has no chance and this one has a greater chance because it falls within the realm of tools that were available or materials that were available or styles that we know that they were crafting in. So,
I think I better correct myself before historians jump on me. Sarah was his stepmother.
That's right.
Nancy Hanks was his original.
That's
his,
right.
His birth mother. But as far as getting back to like the stories that people want to write and associate it with them, and it's because there have even been stories about the fact that, you know, you talked about him having so many sweethearts. As far as I've heard, is Ann Rutledge, who tore his heart apart. And, you
That's
know,
right.
She passed away.
A little bit later in his life.
And then, of course, comes Mary Todd. But some people even said that because he was always sometimes with either Secretary Seward or Gideon Welles, that there was even perhaps the possibility of homosexuality there as well. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, after the person is dead, all this stuff is coming. Of course, historians are going, wait a minute, that part's not true. This is true. This is not true. This is a little bit true, but it's stretched out.
Right. One of the things that happens with Lincoln, it happens with many figures from history, but especially Lincoln, is that after the person is dead and gone, other people like to use this person for their cause. I mean, it's great. We have life insurance that's sold under Lincoln's name. We have automobiles that are sold under Lincoln's name. So this is very common. The Ku Klux Klan has invoked Lincoln at different times in its history. Union members, women's groups, men's groups. So that's part of what they do. They're looking for validation for a hero in the past, and they may manufacture some of the details and they may not, or they may exaggerate.
Keith, as far as your book goes, and as I mentioned, it's called Everybody's History, and it deals with Lincoln's childhood days, at least from the time he was in Indiana until he moved. Is it available at the bookstore, online, or all of the above?
All of the above, yes.
And
available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any place that you're looking for a book.
Okay. Well, we'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Dr. Keith Erickson, a professor from the Department of History, talking about his book, Everybody's History, Indiana's Lincoln Inquiry and the Quest to Reclaim a President's Past. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.